On the front of the T-shirt, you can see the biting Damagibi Forest Hermitage. I think that doesn't need any explanation. And what is this? Maybe one of the kids, one of the younger ones. What is this here? Can you see that? What is that? It's a Dhamma Chakra, exactly. What does it mean, Dhamma Chakra? With the Dhamma Via, Chakapavattana. Because only a Buddha can get that going. No? There's no one else in the universe who could get that wheel turning. There's only a Buddha who can do that. And how many spokes does that Dhamma Chakra have? Why is it 12? Did we make a mistake, or did they deliver us the wrong T-shirts? It should be maybe 8 for the Eightfold Path. Four times three, and it's a Four Noble Truth, as described in the very Dhamma Chakapavattana Sutta, which I just mentioned. It's about the Four Noble Truths, but the Buddha expounds three aspects of each Noble Truth. And if you multiply 4 by 3, then you get 12. And this is also called a chakra in ancient Pali, in logic. So it's an exposition, the Dhamma chakra. Chakra refers to the Dhamma chakra. But when you have a matrix like that, and the Four Noble Truths and threefold aspects makes it 12 spoke, now that is also called a wheel. And then the piece de resistance on the back. Isn't it beautiful? What is that? What is that symbol? This is called a Tiratana, or Triratana in Sanskrit. And it's an ancient Buddhist symbol of the triple gem. It is used on some of the oldest stupas which are still extant, only a couple of centuries after the Buddha, like Bahud, Sanchi, also Amaravati a little bit later. And it would often be put in a very prominent position on the Torana, the ceremonial entry gate to the stupa, to the Chedi. And this shows now how highly revered that symbol was by the ancient Buddhists in India, only a short time after the Buddha and probably already at his lifetime. And the symbol consists in the top, that is actually a kind of trident, because a trident is a very ancient symbol in different culture that predates Buddhism, but has been reinterpreted and turning it into a symbol of the triple gem, because three, the trident three. Below that, does anyone know what that is? These little things sticking out there? That's a little bit fun, eh? You need good eyes for that. There's a Vajra. We just had Ajahn Vajiro visiting, can you remember? In February, March. So what does that mean? Vajra. You met him at Vimokkhara. And did he explain to you what is the meaning of his name? Now, there's two translations for Vajra. One is diamond. You can maybe recognize the term in Vajrayana, the diamond vehicle, Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. Now, they named their the Tibetan practice, the Tibetan Buddhism, also Mongolian. And Vajra means diamond, but it also means a thunderbolt, a flash of lightning. It can mean both. So what has it got to do with Dhamma? What has the ancient, it was also considered the ancient mythological weapon of Indra, the king of the gods. Now, that was a powerful weapon he could wield, the thunderbolt. Of course, the Buddhist interpretation is that the Vajra is a symbol for wisdom, for panya, because only the power of wisdom is strong enough to destroy the defilements in the heart, the kilesas, the asavas, the fetters that bind us to samsara, the mental defilements like greed, hatred, delusion, like jealousy, envy, pride, conceit, and so on. Now, the only power in the universe that can destroy that is wisdom, panya. So the Vajra is a symbol of panya, because just like a thunderbolt was the most powerful thing which even the king of the god would use as a weapon, so we should use the power of wisdom to destroy greed, hatred, and delusion. Now, these are things unique in the universe, and only a Buddha can start to turn the Dhamma wheel. Only wisdom. And that is a real deep wisdom. Urayabha, Gamini, Ya, Panya. The wisdom that can discern the rise and fall of things. That's the only power that can destroy the fetters and the defilements in our heart. Similar, the diamond. Now, the diamond has the highest hardness. The diamond can cut any other stone, whether it's granite or sapphire or whatever. But no other stone can cut the diamond, because the diamond is the hardest. And again, that is a symbol that it's not the defilements that can destroy wisdom, but it's actually wisdom which is the strongest and can destroy the defilements. So that is a little Vajra. And then what is this here, this more roundish thing in the center? That's the lotus. And the lotus is also a very ancient symbol of Buddhism, and is a symbol, for example, for purification. Because a lotus can grow even in a dirty ditch, even a rubbish ditch, where people throw rubbish, and then the rainy season comes, it fills with water, and the lotus grows out of the rubbish, and it rises up through the water until it comes to the surface, and then from the power of the sun it opens the petals. And even if the lotus is growing in dirty water where there's rubbish, it will rise above it, and it will be beautiful and white and pure. And likewise, in our mind, although we are born in a dirty body, we are born in a world with so many imperfections and even atrocities, like in Gaza every single day on live camera and so on. Now, this world we are born into, if we come in a human body, but it's a symbol and encouragement that our heart actually can rise above that, like the lotus. And even in a world where there are wars and atrocities and bad things, it is possible to completely purify our heart until it rises above that. And the heart can become bright, white, pure, like a lotus, even fragrant. Even just practicing virtue, the Buddha compared virtue and keeping the five precepts to a beautiful fragrance which wafts even against the wind. Normal fragrance will spread only with the wind. But the reputation of someone who's virtuous, who keeps the five precepts, that spreads all around. Another symbol of the lotus, the beautiful fragrance. I think some people may not know here in Australia, the lotus is actually not floating. It grows and it has roots in the mud at the bottom. And it has to push up, and it has to go through the water. And some species of lotus, in the rainy season, the water level is rising quite quickly, but they push even faster, that they come out on top. So this is what you have to do when you wear this T-shirt. pushing your mind above all impurities and all evil into purity. And Gabi, the detail designer of our beautiful Tivatana, quite beautiful, divided the stylus lotus into 8 petals. And of course, it's a reminder of the Eightfold Path. So that you also, we have the 12-fold Dhamma Chakra to remind you of the Four Noble Truths in the 4 aspects. And the lotus having 8 petals, there's a special reminder of the 4th Noble Truth. Because what is the 4th Noble Truth? Ariyo Atangiko Mako, namely this Noble Eightfold Path, that is the 4th Noble Truth. And what is the duty attached to that Noble Truth? What do you do with the Noble Eightfold Path? Talking about it? Exactly, you have to develop it, you have to cultivate it. Bhavetapam has to be practiced. So that's a reminder for that. And below that is just a stand. Now you don't want to put the lotus just on the floor. And Gabi did quite beautifully another stand. And the writing, Buddhang Dhammang Sanghang Sadanang Gacchami. And at the bottom, Dhammagibi. Because that is what hopefully the Dhammagibi can accomplish, that many beings feel inspired to take refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. Similar to Tanjan Tenne, Dhammagibi has an emphasis also on solitude. But when we did the t-shirt, I had a feeling that solitude is not for everyone. And we have many people coming here who are happy to practice generosity, to keep precepts, but not necessarily so many like Wanjit who are happy to come for 10 weeks and stay on the retreat. And with a t-shirt, I wanted to give a very fundamental message. And I feel an incredible fundamental, but at the same time, really profound is the act of taking refuge. It's normally said 3 times, but we didn't want to put too much writing on the t-shirt, so it's only once. But you all know that normally we recite it 3 times. And by just doing that much, by taking refuge in the Buddha, so much is implied. Because in that ceremony, when we take refuge, what usually comes straight away next? After taking refuge, what do you do next? Exactly, now committing to the 5 precepts, or even the 8, but at least the 5. Because if we truly take refuge in the Buddha, and he so strongly encouraged keeping these 5 precepts, now that is kind of an expression of taking refuge that we also take on these precepts. It doesn't mean that we have to be absolutely perfect, and there may be occasions when you get carried away by desire or aversion or lack of mindfulness, and there may be weaknesses in these precepts, but it means that one has a genuine intention to train and to try one's best to purify these precepts. And so this is already a lot, by just Buddhang Dhammang Sanghang Sadananga Chami, you're kind of also stating that you train yourself in not killing any living beings, that you train yourself in not doing any theft, any stealing, robbery, taking what is not given. You train yourself to abstain from sensual misconduct like adultery and other things. You train yourself to be truthful, to avoid lying and misrepresentation of truth and fake news. That is getting more and more interesting. There's so much fake stuff around, and there's so much propaganda around. The propaganda is usually false. And now it goes really off with AI. I think with audio, they can't distinguish anymore, actually, whether it's really your voice. If they have a sufficient sample of a recording from you, I think you can by now give any text and have the AI speaking that text in your voice. And I'm not sure whether even a laboratory could figure out whether it's really you or whether it's AI. And I think soon they will have that probably for video as well. So truthfulness is getting more and more important in our world now of propaganda and AI and fakeness and so on. And here you make a commitment to truthfulness. And finally, you know, to abstain, to train oneself, to keep away from alcohol and other intoxicants that erode the sense of shame and conscience and that erode mindfulness and make us heedless, negligent, careless. I mean, even by just taking away alcohol completely, you know, just imagine how much crime, how much domestic violence, how many problems would be gone. That's a really big one. So this is what you are advertising. Isn't it amazing, no? With this simple symbol, with this simple statement, now you're advertising the five precepts. You're also advertising generosity and kindness. And that is my idea. And I notice people like to wear it also when they come to Dhammagibi, but that wasn't actually so much the original intention. The idea was more that you carry it out into the shopping center, into your normal activities, that those people who are lost in this world of materialism and atrocities and so on, that they can see this message, that they can see this refuge actually does exist. Because so many people are just drifting, they have no refuge, they get depressed, they get anxious, they are confused, they are lacking a refuge. And when you see that, and I believe in the power of symbols, when I see this Tibetan, I feel immediately attracted and uplifted. And I see the Dhammachaka, also Gabi's design. I feel uplifted, I feel some positive energy, and that is the idea. The people have all these things on their t-shirts, the brand names usually. But is that really something good and wholesome to have over your heart? Do you want to really have some weird statement or some brand which maybe is doing unwholesome stuff, wearing that white over your heart? And it's so pervasive nowadays, you know, all these signs and symbols, and usually in brand names, designer brands, big corporations. So we put something up which is utterly wholesome and good. And you're advertising kindness and generosity because the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, that's what they teach and recommend and practice. You're advertising gratitude and respect to those who deserve respect. That's all part of taking refuge. You are advertising and promoting qualities like patience and forgiveness. You are advertising and promoting loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, equanimity. You're promoting mindfulness and clear comprehension. You're promoting tranquility, inner calmness, samadhi, wisdom, insight, knowledge. Yes, I totally agree. Wow. Can't believe. Now, with this one thing, what you are advertising and promoting and committing to. And my hope is when people wear that t-shirt, that they also take refuge in their heart. Now, that is the idea. If you have that on your back, on your chest, hopefully you try to follow up. And again, it doesn't mean being totally perfect. It's a training. It's a training, at least a genuine intention to train. And maybe I should mention, I'm often talking to Buddhists already. Many people come here, majority, they already have taken refuge. And then when I'm advocating, please go through this ceremony, do it regularly, that is mostly meant for people who have taken refuge already, who are Buddhist already. I'm not trying to push anyone who's not yet ready to take refuge. If you're not yet a Buddhist, if you haven't taken refuge, that this is a big step. And when I'm advocating that ceremony, I don't mean to push anyone into that. You obviously want to carefully consider, and only once you have that confidence and that faith and that understanding what it means, then you want to do the ceremony. But when I'm advocating the ceremony, we have so many people who are already taking refuge, but it's also important to renew that resolution. And in a time where we have so much depression, anxiety, meaninglessness, it's a great thing to do that every day, just to uplift your mind. So my hope is that I can also use that to encourage those who have taken refuge already in it to come and do it more regularly in a ceremony. And do you all know when do we do it here at Dhammagiri? What is the chance to go through that beautiful ceremony of taking refuge and taking 5 or 8 precepts? Every Saturday, 7:30 in the morning. And usually the Sunday, additionally, the Sunday closest to the full moon at 9 o'clock. Next one, Ajahn Mun, you will be here for Vesak, coming up is in 2 weeks' time. But also next Sunday, next Saturday already. No? But Vesak will be more big style. I'm aware that often it is done as part of offering dana. Now, in most Sri Lankan temples, I think when you offer dana, you'd also do little Buddha puja, taking 5 precepts, refuge. I don't really like to do that so much because not everyone who comes to the monastery and likes to offer some food, listen to some dhamma, has a commitment to take refuge and keep 5 precepts. Now, that is a reality. But if each time when people come, now I go through this ceremony, they probably will not say, hang on, I don't want to keep 5 precepts, or quickly walk out. Now, they will just join, but it's not real, there's no real commitment. So my idea why we are doing it only on these specific times is that when we are doing it, everyone coming there actually really makes a commitment. Again, not necessarily being perfect, but a commitment in the sense that one at least genuinely twice. Whereas when people come here, they may only want to practice dana and they may not yet be ready to take refuge. They may in particular not be ready to keep all 5 precepts or to try at least keeping them. They may not be ready yet. And then I don't want to push them into that. It doesn't seem to be ideal for me. Okay, lots of talking and you're probably keen to get the t-shirts now. So we should start with a short little blessing. I do a few, if you join in, I do just a very few ones which relate to the triple gem.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Pahum vi saranam yanti papata nivana nicha aramaroka cetiani manusa bhayata cita nitanko saranam kimang nitang saranam ottamang nitang saranam agama sapaduka pamuchati yocha bodhamcha dhammamcha sanghamcha saranangato chattari arya sacchani sammapanyaya passati dukkhaṃ dukkha samuppādaṃ dukkhassa ca attikkhamaṃ ariyaṃ ca tangikaṃ maggaṃ dukkhupasamagāminaṃ etaṃ ko saraṇaṃ kīmaṃ etaṃ saraṇaṃ uttamaṃ etaṃ saraṇaṃ āgammaṃ sabbadukkha pamuccati.
Natthi me saranam anyam.
Bhuto me saranam varam. Etena saccha vacena soti dehutu sabbada. Natthi me saranam anyam. Dhammo me saranam varam. Etena saccha vacena soti dehutu sabbada. Natthi me saranam anyam. Sangho me saranam varam. Etena saccha vacena soti dehutu sabbada.
Yam kinchi ratanam loke
vichati vividha puto ratanam bodhasamam natti tasma soti bhavantu te. Yam kinchi ratanam loke vichati vividha puto ratanam dhammasamam natti tasma soti bhavantu te. Yam kinchi ratanam loke vichati vividha puto ratanam sanghasamam natti tasma soti bhavantu te.
Yam dunnimittam
navamangalancha yochamanapo sakunasasato papagao dosopinam akantam bodhanubhavena vinasamento. Yam dunnimittam avamangalancha yochamanapo sakunasasato papa kaho dosopinan akantan dhammanubhavena vinasamento. Yantun nimetan avamangalancha yochamanapo sakunasasado papa kaho dosopinan akantan sanghanubhavena vinasamento.
Dokkhapata ca nittokkha bhayappata ca nissokkha sokkhapata ca nissokkha
hontu sabbe pipanino etavata ca ammehi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodanto sabba sampatti siddhiya danam dadantu saddhaya silam rakkhantu sabbada bhavana virata hontu gacchantu devata gata sabbe buddha balappatta paccekanam ca yam balam arahantanam ca tejena rakkhambandhami sabbaso.